Welcome to Work Mom Says,
Don't Be an Idiot.
And now, here's your host, Work Mom.
Hello, everybody. I'm Lori Jo Vest. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Work Mom Says, Don't Be an Idiot. Today, my guest is Carrie Doyle, and Carrie is starting a business called Career Dad, right? Is that what it's called?
TheCareerDad.com. Yes, Career Dad.
TheCareerDad.com. And so what we want to talk to about today is how it can be really difficult to find the right career path when you're just out of high school or in your early 20s. So we're going to focus on what happens after you've graduated. Maybe your friends went off to college, or maybe you went off to college and decided it wasn't for you. Or maybe you've been out of college for a few years and you still haven't found that sweet spot that you, where you belong, you make good money and you're happy. And what I want to start out with right off the bat is finding the right career is not as easy as people make it seem, right, Carrie? It's just not that easy.
Correct. Sorry. Yes, it's not that easy. It can be simplified. I think people overcomplicate it, but even when it's simplified, it's still not easy because you have emotions and other things that come into play. Yeah.
Right. And the perfect job that you think would be great for you might not be a fit, and or it might not be available when you're ready. So I'll tell you a little story about my early career days. I envisioned being a radio DJ. I was going to be on the radio. I didn't even think about television. Had a broadcast degree, really loved radio, loved the whole DJ thing. And then I realized that in order to make it in that business, you basically have to work in teeny tiny towns, making teeny tiny money, sitting in a room by yourself. And I'm a major social animal. I'm like, I just love being around people. And so what happened when I got out of college is I was kind of at a loss. What should I be doing? And I decided that advertising was probably a really good place for me. So I sent out, I'm serious, probably 150 resumes. That was back in the day when you sent out a paper resume in an envelope with a cover letter and you waited for them to call you back. And I got a call from that first batch of 100 that I sent from a company that did outdoor advertising. Now that's billboards. And not only was it billboards, which is the poor stepchild of the advertising media, but it was outdoor advertising targeted to the Black ethnic market, which back in the 80s was not very popular. And it was on the sides of liquor stores and grocery stores in the city. And I had no choice. I needed a job. I took the job. And I was so lucky because my boss in that position basically taught me everything I needed to know about sales. It was absolutely amazing. I really had a lot of fun in the job. I was his punk rock account executive. He called me because I had the crazy hair and I was all like, you know, just out of college. And I stayed there for 3.5 years because I learned so much. I was able to make a little bit of money. And as soon as I started to get kind of bored and kind of like, okay, I need to look for something else, an opportunity in television production came up. And that's where I spent the majority of my career. First thing out of college, that wasn't an option. I didn't even know who to talk to or who to communicate with to try to find those jobs. But once I was in the industry, then I kind of got the lay of the land. 3.5 years later, I kind of knew where to go and an opportunity presented itself. So the first thing that you end up doing that's a career job might not be the career job. So today we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about how normal it is to be uncertain about your career in your 20s, some self-discovery tips, building some resilience so that when you get the no's that you'll get, they don't take you out. They might knock you down, but you stand back up and keep going. And then I want to talk a little bit about how you can continue to grow your career once you do get that first career job. So Carrie, let's talk about how the current situation in society tells young people that, oh, there's a job out there for you and you just go find it. Live your passion, live your dreams. Is that realistic?
I don't believe so. No. You know, it's, if you pick up many career books, talk to many career counselors, or they'll tell you, find your passion, find your calling, find your perfect job. And guess what? There isn't one perfect job.
No.
And in terms of callings, unless you're in the clergy or something, you know, it's very rare as well. It's, the responsibility is on us as people to find out what's in the market and do the homework and find out what fits. And there won't be just one perfect fit for everybody. Right. There are multiple. I mean, there are thousands and thousands of career paths, fields, and it really depends on the situation. So you might think, oh, I like medicine. I want to go into medicine. And you get in there, you get into the situation like, yeah, this isn't quite the right fit. Well, maybe it's not medicine. Maybe it's the people in that group you're working with. You know, it can be so, there's so many different variables. People want to find that perfect thing and it just doesn't exist. People will find the right fit after experimenting multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found a statistic that people will change jobs. Most people 12 or more times before they're in their 30s. And when I think about that, I worked at McDonald's, then I worked in media production, then I worked in outdoor advertising, then I worked in video production. Now I work in social media and I do a podcast. I mean, we all have lots of facets to who we are. So you have to find a job that matches what your interests and talents are. Not always easy. So I also think some people make it look really, really easy when it's not. So if you see people on social media that are out there, oh, I'm just got out of college, got my perfect job, and I'm making millions. They're not sharing the dark and ugly side of it, right?
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. And the other thing is the default path is, you know, find something you're interested in, get a degree, go out there. Well, you thought your DJ path was going to be different than it actually was after you got the degree. So the other thing we all, and then once you got into your outdoor job, you said you learned everything from sales from the person you worked with. That's how everything works. It's get experience and learn from the experience. It's on the job experience. We don't train people that way. We say, hey, go to kindergarten through 12, K 12, and then plus 4 more years and $100,000, and then go start working and get that experience. Well,
no.
My advice is look for that experience beforehand, before you make the investment. I'm not against college. I'm just saying do some homework before college, something that you're not used to doing. Get out of your comfort zone.
And don't assume that college is always the right choice, right?
Absolutely. It depends on the career. You know, for the last 50, 60 years, it was pretty much the default path. Graduate from high school, go to college, or you're going to end up in a low-paying job, that a dead-end job. It's not the case anymore. You know, I believe in education. I believe in higher education. I just don't believe that is the default path. I believe there's so many other options for education, and I believe we are responsible for it, not the college. Yep. They're not responsible for finding us that perfect job. We are. The other thing is, Lori, as you said earlier, you didn't know until you got there.
Right.
We tend to lean towards careers we've been exposed to. Our parents, our friends, something on TV. It's, you know, we know what we're exposed to. And my advice is get exposure. And you say, well, how do you get exposure? Well, talk to people, network, explore.
Yeah.
Again, we're responsible for our own career, our own lives. It's not the teachers and parents anymore. It's us.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and I want to tell a quick little story, because my son, he really thought that he was going to work in corporate America in the automotive industry. He graduated from University of Michigan. He had done a internship at Stellantis/Chrysler. He was overseeing dealership operations in their service department, I think it's called parts and service department. And he was excited. They had actually given him the three, you know, shirts with the three brands on them, and he was going to graduate and then go to work for Stellantis, and he was all excited about it. And then the pandemic happened, and those jobs just disappeared. There was nothing there. There were no jobs. So he went to get what he thought was his pandemic job as a service advisor at a Chrysler dealership. He knew all about it because he'd been on the corporate side in that area. So he went and got the job, and he thought, you know, low paying, I'll just kind of hang out here until things open up a little bit in the automotive industry. And what happened is, fast forward 4 years, and he is a service advisor on Alfa Romeo and Wagoneer. He's making six figures. He is 100% commission, and he did not need a college degree for that job. What he needed was a passion for automotive. He loves helping people with their cars. He is, and that's probably the business he'll stay in. He may become a service department manager. They make even more money. But there are a lot of industries like that one that you wouldn't know. I had no idea that a service advisor could make six figures, and also that they were commissioned only. I mean, it's crazy. But there's a lot that you don't know if you don't explore. So how do you suggest, Carrie, it's based on your experience, how young people, you know, before or after college, can try to figure out what industries they're most interested in?
Well, I would recommend before, or at least early on in college, to explore more than after spending the 100K.
Yeah, we could have gotten away without spending that 100K.
So exploring, again, it's not easy, but it's fairly simple and straightforward. It's doing things that are may not be in someone's comfort zone. All the way through high school, people were given an assignment: study, take a test, do a report, do an assignment, get an A. Life is good. Maybe do some extracurricular activities. Maybe join a sports team. It's all pretty much spelled out for you. So if you want to explore the work world, there isn't a cookie cutter approach. It's a bit of trial and error. We do have LinkedIn, where I would encourage everybody, even in high school, to get on LinkedIn and start networking and start exploring and get real conversations with real people. Everybody wants to be, you know, doing this with their phones. Guess what? Use it the old fashioned way and make a phone call. You can connect with them digitally, you know, through LinkedIn or however, but explore and get in conversations with people. Go meet with them either in person or through Zoom or something and find out what it's really like. You would have found out, you know, if that existed back in the day, you would have found out what real life is as a DJ if you were able to do that exploration. We have so many ways to explore. So anyway, LinkedIn is one, but friends, family, other social media networks actually make connections with people and talk with people. I just feel like the human contact, you know, I read something that says the younger people especially, we're socially connected, but wait a minute, we're digitally connected, but socially disconnected, socially isolated.
Yes.
And I believe that is where young people are comfortable being digitally connected, but they're socially isolated, and they don't have the same habits you and I were forced into. You know, you'd walk down the street and knock on the door and say, hey, you want to come out? Now it's, you know, this on a phone. So, you know, it's getting out. It's some of it's going back to, it's using technology where it helps. But it's doing some good old fashioned communication.
And looking at your passions, what do you really love to do? I know I'm a social person. I'm so social that social media was just a natural thing for me to get into. I always loved to write, so I'm a writer. I've always been a writer, and any job I had typically ended up handling the marketing too. So lots and lots of writing, wrote a book. What do you think about tools like personality assessments and, you know, those kinds of things? The, like, What Color Is Your Parachute, I think, is a book out there that still gets a lot of kudos for being a great tool for investigating what your personality and skills, how they match up with a particular industry or career, right? What do you think of the tools that are out there?
Well, I believe, and even What Color's Your Parachute, which is probably the, you know, longest standing best-selling career book, that has actually changed over time. And the author, Richard Bowles, I believe his name is, he actually says, take, you know, you can use some of these assessments, but don't rely 100% on them. Don't rely heavily on them. They give you some information, some general direction, but he also advises to explore on your own because there's a gap. And there are a few reasons I wouldn't put all my weight into the assessments. One, it's a snapshot in time. And our personalities and our interests change over time. It's also based on theory. Anything based on theory, it's, yes, it's based on statistics and behavior and surveys and other things, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to sync up with you. I'm naturally an introvert and a very shy person. I, you know, those tests told me I should be behind a computer or in doing programming or something, but you know what? I also liked to teach and I was afraid to stand up in front of an audience until I took a Dale Carnegie class and it forced me to do it. And I found out, you know what? I love teaching and I love getting in front of people and talking to them, but I was scared to death to do it. So if I relied on an assessment, it would have told me, stay behind the computer, stay behind a screen, do something that is not with people, because that's my natural inclination. But once I was exposed to it, I enjoyed it. It scared me, yes. It was uncomfortable, yes. But I learned to really love it. So
great.
Anyway, it's I feel like, and the author of What Color's Your Parachute also agrees. I've read many career books, that one included. That there's some good information, but it's not the end all be all. You need to explore yourself.
I think Strengths Finders is a really good one for anybody on the planet, basically, from, you know, as soon as you're old enough to take that one. Not because it's going to tell you what career you should explore, but because it will call out what your strengths are. What are you really good at? And I found it to be so accurate. It gives you 5 strengths. What are you really good at? And what happens, if nothing else, is you come out of that experience of taking this assessment and getting your results feeling really good about yourself. And there's nothing wrong with feeling good about yourself and your unique skills. So I would highly recommend Strengths Finders. I know there are all kinds of different tools out there. A good career counselor is probably an even better option, someone who can sit with you, ask you the questions. Do you like to make things with your hands? Are you a woodworking kind of person as a hobby? Well, then maybe skilled trades would be a good place for you. The Carpenter and Millwrights Union has an apprenticeship program. Maybe that's something to explore. And just because you explore it doesn't mean you have to stick with it your whole life. I have had 3 very distinct careers in my life. And Carrie, I'm assuming you have too, right? You've had more than one for sure.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about what happens when the search gets really hard. How can someone, a young professional or young wannabe professional, how can they keep their inspiration, their motivation, their resilience when they're sending out resumes and trying to figure out nothing's happening? Because that will happen. It will happen.
Well, a couple things. You said it's hard. It's nothing worth doing, I think, in life is easy. Everybody wants the easy button. But so I think understanding that and expecting that there are going to be challenges along the way, expecting that and understanding it up front is part of it. And then,
yes.
And then also being able to control what you can control. You said you sent out 150, 200 resumes back in the day.
Yeah.
So if you flash forward to today, we don't send out, you know, paper resumes and envelopes and lick the stamps, you know, anymore. But we make connections with people. We, whether it's LinkedIn, phone, in person, whatever, it's still a numbers game. And it's, you can't get discouraged on one. You have to do them over time. And then again, you control what, how many people have you reached out to? How many interviews have you gone on? How many, you know, you can't control what they think, how they react. Right. All you can control is what you can do. So if you say, oh, I sent out 2 resumes, or I made 2 connection requests on LinkedIn, I made 2 phone calls. It's not enough. It's not enough.
No,
you know, or even I made 100, but nobody called me back. Guess what? Sometimes people are busy and you follow up. That's another thing. Yeah. I don't think people are used to, okay, oh, you know what? They're automatically going to call me back. I emailed them or I called them. They're not. They're busy.
Yeah.
Call them again. It takes persistence. And yes, it gets exhausting. Yes, it gets discouraging. It's difficult again, but it's a good life lesson forever because it's not a one and done thing. That is going to be the rest of your life. I'm experiencing it now. I'm making a bit of a change myself. And it's, you know, it's, I think it's exciting and discouraging at the same time. It's challenging, but it's, you take those moments that are difficult and you look at them as learning experiences and say, okay, I need to strengthen that or maybe shift here, pivot here, whatever. But it's just, it's all a data point. Everything's a learning experience.
And one of the biggest piece of advice I would give people is just keep going. Don't stop. And you may have to take a bridge job. You may have to take like that advertising job. I thought I would be there for 6 months. I needed revenue for my personal revenue. I needed a job. I needed insurance. I needed the things that come with a job. So I took it. I expect to like it? I actually had gone into the meeting, the last meeting I had with David Laster, who was my boss, who was an amazing human being, and to tell him that I wasn't taking the job. But I had connected with him. I'd had 3 interviews. I felt like I owed it to him to tell him in person. And that shows you what a great boss he was, because he had created a personal connection with me that I felt obligated that I had to go tell him in person, and walked out of there with a job and was like, what just happened? I'm so fortunate that that's the way it worked out, because the things that he taught me, I use every single day. And a lot of it is relationships. I'm going to kind of veer off of our outline here. One of the things that I would suggest people do is find people in the industry that you think you're interested in. For example, I was interested in broadcasting, and find people, connect with people either that you know or on LinkedIn, and ask for an informational interview. I know, Carrie, you and I both, if somebody, some young person approached me on LinkedIn, nobody ever does, but if somebody did and said, hey, I would just like to talk to you about what your aspect of the business is like, I would take a 20-minute, 30-minute call happily. And you'll find most people do, because you will stand out by asking for something like that. You will appear to be more of a goal-getter kind of person, and it's really helpful. You don't know who they know either. So don't hesitate to reach out. It's part of being in a, you know, successful career is being fearless when it comes to making connections. And you might as well start now. Even if you're scared to death, do it anyway. I mean, that's one thing I lived by the mantra when I was in my 20s, feel the fear and do it anyway, because it's not going to kill you. At least it probably won't kill you. I don't know. Maybe it would, but most cases you're not going to die because you picked up the phone or you sent an email and you asked somebody for something. Give them the opportunity to say no. Don't say no for them. I learned that in my charitable work. Don't say no for them. Let them say no. Right.
Absolutely. So. And, you know, mentioning fear, anything new to us can be scary. It usually is, but that fear gets magnified the longer we think about it, the longer we, you know, overanalyze it. Once you take the action, that fear gets reduced. And the more action you take, that fear gets reduced and reduced and reduced to zero.
Until it's just what you do.
Exactly. And, you know, and I'm glad you brought up the informational interviews. That's kind of what I was leaning toward when I said make connections and conversations. I think you're actually more apt to get a job in that route, being proactive to talk. When talking with people and creating relationships, most jobs are hired from people who know people. If you get to know more people, whether they have an opening or not, they will refer you to somebody else when they hear of an opening. So the side door, the stepping stone jobs, that's more likely to happen than going to a job posting and saying, oh, there's my perfect job. I'm going to apply for it and get it. It's right. Be proactive, talk to people before the job is posted.
Yep. And I mean, how many people have you heard that are C-level executives or, you know, on the board of these major organizations, and they started out as the receptionist or the mailroom? There's a reason they talk, you know, maybe they don't talk about it as much as they used to, but the mailroom used to be a really big deal. Mailroom was like the entry-level position, and those entry-level spots, even if they aren't exactly what you want to do, will get you in the door. And that's part one. I mean, that's the most important step, is getting in to the industry that you think you might want to be in and playing around a little bit, seeing what you might be able to create. So anything else that you would offer encouragement or anything else, carry resources, let me know. What do you think?
I will do that. I think I'm actually creating a pool of resources at thecareerdad.com. And they're awesome. There are good books. There are good tools out there. But I guess I would like to add an interesting a little story since you mentioned the mailroom. I got my undergraduate degree in marketing, thought I wanted to go into marketing. My first job was Coca-Cola in marketing, and I hated it. So I worked there for a couple of years and thought, marketing's not for me. So I went back to school, got my MBA in finance. And while I was interviewing for jobs at financial firms, I worked in the mailroom at an ad agency because I knew the people there. And I was just part-time. I was working the mailroom. They made a joke, MBA, mailboy always. So I was working in the mailroom with an MBA in finance, and
that's great.
One of the vice presidents pulled me aside and said, "Carrie, what are you doing interviewing these finance companies?" He says, "You don't belong in finance. You belong in advertising and marketing." He says, "We don't have anything here because I'm going to set you up with an interview with a friend of mine at Donor Advertising. Would you go over there and talk with them?" And I said, "Sure." I went over there, got a job. Finance. I never ended up in finance. So
that's awesome. That's
awesome. The mailroom is where things start sometimes. So
yeah, and even the proverbial mailroom, right? Which I'm not really sure what that means now. What is the mailroom now? It might be like an account coordinator or a junior project manager. I mean, you just never know. But I would like to just encourage you, if you are in that place where you're in your 20s, you can't find that career path that you thought would be easy. Keep going. Consider bringing in a career coach. Consider, you know, really studying up on how to find that perfect career. Google is your friend. I would even say ChatGPT is a great place to look for options. If you do your strengths finder and you find that you have these five particular strengths, I would drop them into ChatGPT and say, "Hey, what job would I be great for with these five strengths?" and see what it says. But just continue to explore. Don't give up. You will land in a great place. So any last words of wisdom, Carrie?
I'd like to echo your advice there. And all of those things were great advice. But then if ChatGPT or somebody points you in a direction, then reach out to somebody and actually talk with them and get that informational interview. Find out from their perspective what their day-to-day life is. And, you know, if you can shadow them for a day or they become a mentor, they're happy to talk to you. More people are happy to help young people out than you think.
Yeah, they'll make time. They will make time.
Yes, exactly. Right? And just don't think you're going to find that perfect job. You're going to find something that's a good fit for that point in time, and then you're going to grow and you're going to learn and you're going to probably adapt and change. So
yeah,
nothing's forever.
And have those 12 jobs before your 30s, right? So
yeah, exactly.
it does Experiment. Happen. We all have lots of them. So that's what we've got for you today. Please visit my website at workmomsays.com. That's where the podcast lives. So you can go all the way back to the early silly episodes. They were really fun. We're a little more serious now. And I also have a contact form there. So if you have a particular question you'd like me to answer, a guest you'd like to suggest, or any other things that you might want to talk to me about, please get in touch with me there. I am also an open networker on LinkedIn at Lori Jo Vest. And Carrie, you're an open networker too. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Awesome. So catch up with us there. And thank you so much for being here today. Thank you, Carrie.
Thank you, Lori.
Thanks for listening to Work Mom Says,
Don't Be an Idiot.
For more information, you can email Work Mom at LORI workmomsays.com. That's Lori at workmomsays.com. And remember,
don't be an idiot.